tells me about what I see, whether it's you, whether it's anybody, it doesn't make any difference. Because my mind gets angry. And when it gets angry, I blame you for making me angry. And yet you didn't make me angry. I'm already angry. I got anger inside of me. And I can't see the relationship there. Because I blame you. And blame you means the world, means anybody, anything, anytime. Doesn't make any difference. But the step itself, though, what it means to me mainly is that I can start this morning out. And say I go along this morning, maybe I don't say hello to you. And I think about that later. I can go back and apologize. I can maybe find you and say hello to you. But you see, I don't have to take it with me everywhere I go. There is a way in step 10 to take a personal inventory. That's looking inside of me. Taking a personal inventory of my behavior, my thinking, my action as the moment I live. So I don't have to continue the rest of the day with something that happened early in the morning and I'm still paying a price for it in the afternoon. It robs me of my day. Can you imagine? I've got a job to do a job. And I have a mind that can do the job. But it's so full of something I did in the morning that I'm still thinking about it and my job. I just got through robbing myself of a life that I should have. Because I don't know what to do with it. I did something wrong. I made a mistake. And I have to take it with me everywhere I go. I have to remember it. I have to think about it. And this here is what kills me all the time. But yet, though, see, step 10 is in the 10th position, especially in the 10th position, because of what's going on in my life. If you stop and think about this now, how far have we went in step application by principles in the day we're in to build a new character now with no reference to the old character, just doing nothing now? Except learning how to live today, think today, act today by principles and a power that makes it possible. We've come a long way if you don't know it. We've come a long, long way. We started down when it was ABCs, when it was about alcoholism, ego and self. Then it started out identifying, learning. I'll never be able to take another drink of alcohol again as long as I live. This is a principle. This is something that I must have in my life. I have it. Building a character by step application. This is what it's all about. Because when my life's unmanageable, I have to find out why. Why is my life unmanageable? If I'm not drunk, why is my life unmanageable? You see, all of these principles, all of this what we're talking about, becomes a method of living. But if you stop and think about it, all along, going along, right up now, up to step 10, do you know that you can walk into a store? Do you can go in a crowded room full of people, that you can go in there and come out of there and your mind is just as clear and clean as it could be, that it didn't go and look for trouble, that it didn't judge people, it didn't find people that displeased you for some reason or another, that you could be totally free from a mind that used to do nothing but live in a rat race? Mine lived in a sewer. The rat race I lived in was in my mind. It wasn't in the world, because I created a rat race. Because my mind said this and it said that. Here we're going now in the step application, learning what Alcoholics Anonymous is all about. We're only up at step 10, but can you imagine how far along, in principle, in the day you're in, that you could have now something that wasn't there before? Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I found out that most alcoholics have to learn the same way I had to learn. They have to be shown. This is spiritual food. I'm showing you something. I'm giving you something. But it's spiritual food. It's nothing I own. I don't have a damn thing. I'm no different than you. I must do again the same thing today, or I don't have it either. To grow spiritually, how can you grow spiritually if you don't live with the spiritual principles in application the day you're in? How are you going to grow? Are you going to grow by your mind? Are you going to grow by your job or by your success, your money or whatever it is? Is that the way you're going to grow? Not for the disease of alcoholism. It never works that way. But here we're coming up into a point now that's very important because of what step said, step 10. In step 10, page 90, it's a spiritual axiom that whenever I'm disturbed, no matter what the cause, I'm at fault. This is a principle. This is to walk through this day today. Go through this whole day today under any and all conditions. And if there's anything wrong, I must look inside. If I see something that's disturbing, I must look inside. I have to have something. And what I have to have is in step 10. Step 10 again now is all about a relationship. It's a relationship with a power greater than me. A personal inventory is a personal inventory that's going on right now. Right now. You see, these steps are in an order form. You can see maybe logically, maybe you can see it like I see it, because each step is there in front of another step for a reason, so that the principles, the need, is going to be supplied in that step to go farther. You see, this is necessary, step 10, and it's necessary in application. Otherwise, I'll never be able to go through step 11. And step 11 is the only step that we grow spiritually. You can figure this one out. Step 11 is the only step that you'll grow spiritually. All the other steps are there for a reason, but not like step 11. But if step 10 isn't there, then I can't do step 11. Because of what step 10 says that I must do, is that I have to take a personal inventory. That means that the moment I wake up till the moment I go to bed, that my life has to be a personal inventory. I have to keep checking in. It says for new events even, it talks in here, and it says although all inventories are alike in principle, the time factor does distinguish one from another. There's the spot check inventory, taken at any time of the day, whenever we find ourselves getting tangled up. There's the one we take at the day's end, when we review the happenings of the hours just passed. You see, it talks in here, and it says, wait a minute, let me see where it's at here. It talks, when a drunk has a terrific hangover because he drank heavily yesterday, he cannot live well today. But there is another kind of hangover, which we all experience, whether we're drinking or not. That is the emotional hangover, the direct result of yesterday and sometimes today's excesses of negative emotion, anger, fear, jealousy, and the like. If we would live serenely today and tomorrow, we certainly need to eliminate these hangovers. This doesn't mean we need to wander morbidly around in the past. It requires an admission and a correction of errors now. Our inventory enabled us to settle with the past. When this is done, we are really able to leave it behind us. When our inventory is carefully taken, we have made peace with ourselves. The conviction follows that tomorrow's challenges can be met as they come. There's so much here in individual personal inventory in the day we're in, so that whether they're new events, something that has never happened, they don't throw us off first base. We don't do dumb things. We don't think dumb things. And this is why step 10 is like it says. And when it says it's a spiritual axiom, you see, a spiritual axiom is whenever something disturbs me, I'm at fault. I had to accept that. It was hard at first, because I kept looking at you, looking at the world, looking at blame, blaming others, blaming times and places. But a personal inventory was where my mind told me, there's nothing wrong really. It's what your mind's telling you. You're listening to a mind now, and that's what's upsetting you. This is going inwardly again. This is all about this personal inventory. Before, the inventory I looked at was always outside. It was never inside. The inventory of defects of character was one thing, but these aren't the same things. Step 10 is here so I can live today, this day. I can make a mistake. I can go in today, and I can make a mistake, and it can be corrected promptly, admit it today, this day, now. When it happens now, it now is now. I don't have to lug it around. I don't have to build and build and build until the day ends. I had a rotten day. Because something happened along the way. I made a mistake. I said something too fast, and I hurt somebody. It can be corrected, and it can be corrected right then. Promptly admit it, even to the person I injured, and to God. But you see, this is a way of life. This is something I never had before, because I had to carry with me everything I ever did, and I had a memory like an elephant. I can go back so many years, and I can remember so many things, and they can punish me today just like they punished me back then, because there are things that hurt me. There's things I'm ashamed of. There's things that bring on guilt. And these things don't have to be there. Why can't I be happy, joyous, and free? This here program, the whole program, Recovery, is based on exactly that. Happy, joyous, and free away from my mind. It says our first objective will be the development of self-restraint. This carries a top priority rating. When we speak or act hastily or rashly, the ability to be fair-minded and tolerant evaporates on the spot. One unkind tirade or willful snap judgment can ruin a relationship with another person for a whole day or maybe a whole year. Nothing pays off like the restraint of tongue and pen. We must avoid quick-tempered criticism and furious power-driven arguments. The same goes for sulking or silent scorn. These are emotional booby traps baited with pride and vengefulness. Our first job is to sidestep these traps. When we are tempted by the bait, we should train ourselves to step back and think. For we can neither think nor act to good purpose until the habit of self-restraint has become automatic. You see, what they're talking about here now is something that as I was living my life in the day I was in, I didn't know that I could undo things in the day I was in that I did. I went along in the day I was in, making mistakes. I was doing things in the day I was in, and I had no way of correcting them. I had no way of knowing what it is or how to do it or when to do it or who do you do it with. And so if you remember, you know, back, you go back in page 53 in step 4. It starts on the bottom of 52, but then it ends up at 53. And it says, suppose that financial insecurity constantly arouses these same feelings. I can ask myself, to what extent have my own mistakes fed my gnawing anxieties? And if the actions of others are part of the cause, what can I do about that? If I'm unable to change the present state of affairs, am I willing to take the measures necessary to shape my life to conditions as they are? Questions like these, more of which will come to mind easily in each individual case, will help turn up the root causes. But it is from our twisted relations with family, friends, and society at large that many of us have suffered the most. We have been especially stupid and stubborn about them. The primary fact we fail to recognize is our total inability to form a true partnership with another human being. Our egomania digs two disastrous pitfalls. Either we insist upon dominating the people we know, or we depend on them far too much. If we lean too heavily on people, they will sooner or later fail us, for they are humans too, and they cannot possibly meet our incessant demands. You see, this character building that I've been talking about now, we're in step 10. And we're in step 10 because of what it says. It's a spiritual axiom that whenever I'm disturbed, no matter what the cause, I'm at fault. Here it talks in here that I have the total inability to form a true partnership with another human being. There's principles now. We started in 1. We go all the way through. We hit 4 now. Now we're up in 10. But you see, along the way, there's a character building taking place. The character building that's taking place is application. These aren't reading things anymore. These aren't things that you have to remember. These are not things that when you get out there, you get lost. You can't remember what page or anything else like that. The reason why is because the character building that you're building, you're living it as you build it. They become a way of life. I didn't know that when I was building the character that I brought here, I was building it in the day I was in, living with that day. And I built me that day because of the way I lived, the way I thought, what I acted, what I did. Here in Alcoholics Anonymous, we're given a chance now. We're given a chance to build a new character. The new character is by principle, spiritual in their nature. This is exactly what this is about right now. Is that step 10. Step 10 allows each and every one of us to go into the day we're in. We can have a day of today of all days. today can be the most beautiful day you ever had in your life. And it can be that way. But as it does that, it gets better because of the spiritual progress, because of the fact that you keep looking inside. You quit blaming the outside. You quit finding fault out there. You were taught down in step two all about this, about self-talking, about arguing, about many, many things. These were principles. Try to remember this not by words, not by chapters, not by numbers, but by application. To see yourself in the day you're in, that you can have a power where this power, it makes it possible to do exactly what you need to do for your life today. This is not self. But you see, the bottom line to what I'm talking about all the time, and it's going to come out in the next step, is total dependency on God. Total dependency on God. Step 10, I know for sure that if you could keep in mind about the spiritual axiom, that whenever you're disturbed, no matter what the cause, you're at fault. If you could develop that principle, that truth, to do that in the day you're in, try it for a while. If you don't like it, if it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, then do whatever you want to do. But at least give it a fair shot. At least try it and see if it's there. See if it does something that needs to be done to your life. In step 11, says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. Now, that's a lot of words. That is a lot of words. But you see, the first word bugged me right away. The first word is sought. I don't believe I ever remember ever using the word sought in the vocabulary. I don't think I ever did. When would I ever use the word sought? I don't even know what sought means. I think I do. I think it means seek, I guess, but it doesn't mean that. Because what does it mean? Sought through prayer and meditation. So I have to look these words up. I have to go to a dictionary, and I have to keep looking. This is the language that I was talking about. Because sought is an ongoing, continuous way. Sought is not seeking and finding. Sought doesn't end. Sought is a continuous method. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. So how can I do that? Just exactly, how could I do that? It says conscious contact with God. Now, we've been sitting here all day long. All day long. Has it ever, or how many times, was out of these hours that we've been here, was there any reference of needing God, talking about God, asking God, praising God? You see, that's what this step means. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. See, prayer and meditation, I had to learn exactly that prayer doesn't have to be on my knees. Prayer can be exactly right now. And it is now. I ask God always to help me, guide me, strengthen me with His power, His words. But you see, that's a prayer. And meditation to me is quiet time, silence, inside silence. That means that my mind is not talking to me. Meditation means exactly that I'm asking God to be in my life. I'm not doing nothing, it's just plain silence. I'm not thinking about tomorrow, today, right now, you, them, or anybody else, because it's a silence. It's an inner quiet. To me, that's what it is. That's why I can have meditation if I'm in my car. I don't have to go to a special room, special time. Because I used to find out when I was working, and I'd be out on the freeway, and I'd be out there when the traffic's going 900 miles an hour around you, and you got a big truck there, and you're trying to get it out of the way, and I'm just getting worried, I'm getting sick of getting killed or getting hurt, my mind's racing 90 miles an hour, the damn truck is against the center divider instead of over where it belongs, and so I go back to my truck. I learn to go back to my truck and sit down, and shut down. Shut down means that I stop thinking about traffic. I stop thinking about how bad off everything is. It's a silence. It's an inner silence. It's a mind that just doesn't keep rattling away. I get out of the truck and I go back. Sometimes I go back there, I see exactly what's wrong with the truck. I can fix it. We drive away. Other times I have to hook up and pull them. But regardless, my mind didn't kill me. My mind slowed down and then it stopped. It gave me a chance to see what was necessary to see, to do what I was supposed to do. And every time, everything turned out right. Every time. Never missed. Sometimes I had to pull them away. Sometimes we drove them away. But you see, the whole world that I lived in, all of a sudden, it was a big rat race. It was full of fears. It was going by 90 miles an hour. Every damn car seemed like it was going faster. And I'm thinking in terms, I'm going to get killed. To have this, what I'm talking about is application. It's using it. Prayer and meditation, sought through prayer and meditation. Sought is right now. I sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. What does that mean? To me, it means everything. It means right now. I don't have to be taught this. You don't have to tell me how to do this. All I have to do is do it, because it tells me exactly what to do. Consciously, ask God, talk to God, consciously do this. When is consciously? At a special time, special place? No. Consciously is right now. I can have a relationship, and I need this relationship because it's a power. This is a power where if I follow through with what it says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understood Him. Understood Him. Remember down in 2. Remember what 3 said. 3 said the same thing and it's underlined the same way. I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to care of God as I understood Him. Understood Him from 2. Understood what from 2? Understood that there's a power greater than me that can do something I can't do. Can give me sanity, soundness, wholeness of mind. Step 11 says, let's grow spiritually. It's the only step that we can grow spiritually because of what it is you have to do. You have to consciously keep going farther with God through prayer and meditation to improve your conscious contact, praying only for the knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. What does that mean? Down in 3, we didn't read about 3 at the last part about it, but it says in 3 that only me, in the light of my own circumstances, can exert this willingness. Trying to do this is an act of my own will. It's an act of my own will. I want to be with God. I want to have this life. I want everything God wants me to have. Praying only for the knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. You see, them words mean a great deal. Stop and think about the principles that are involved right now. The principles, the truth of what them words say. God, as I understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. You see, them aren't words, because words get lost. Words don't take on meaning, but principles do. Application does the thing that's necessary to do. If I walk and talk with God, if I ask God, if I relate my life to God, if I ask God to help me, who am I asking? I'm not asking me, but I'm asking a power greater than me, something that I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous that I need to have. I by myself am nothing. The Father doeth the works. That's step 7. And I know that for sure. These are principles now. This isn't head knowledge. This isn't something that you can store up now. This isn't, you can't take this to bed and just